is his name. There's no other name under heaven that is more to be honored and reverenced and lifted up. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, for a message this morning. The last message I preached was directed to the husbands. And the message this morning is directed specifically to the Christian wives. I know we've went back and forth on father's role, mother's role, and a number of messages on the home and domestic issues and so forth. And I don't like to be repeating a lot of things. It's not my intention to do that. But it seems like that most any message, there's always things that could be said and should be said probably that are left unsaid and so forth. And we leave that up to God. But you know, to me, the home is very precious. It just is. It's probably one of the most precious things on earth, is where a Christian home is, a husband and a wife, that they're functioning and they're living and ordering their lives according to the Word of God and that which the Word spells out. So I hope this morning, hope you young boys are not bored, and also you young girls, could say the message is to would-be wives as well. None of us knows what the future holds for us, but I believe that the Word of God is a book that, being it spells out how to live for all of us, and we're incorporated in a sense, as a church and the people of God, that we are interested in those things. Now, I suppose what was said to the husbands in the last message, some of it at least, could be said to the wives. There's a number of things that fit both sides of the house, and such as, you know, we think of husband-wife. It's not necessarily a husband-wife message, relationship message, but still the same things that, you know, that there's a number of things that could be said to all of us. We need good communications, relationships, respect and understanding, and you know, all those things, they need to be mutual, husband and wife and in a home. And, you know, the home, again, it's something that I'm captivated by it. I think we should be. I mean, our homes where we were born and raised, and what happens there is a lot why we're the product the way we are. And so we work with those things. But as I mentioned, the things that are for the husband, many things fit for the wife as well, and I think these things are mutual. For example, in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3, we have the verse where it says, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence." But it goes on and it says, likewise also the wife to the husband. So you understand, it flows both ways, mutual thing. And again, just refreshing our minds, the word benevolence simply means kind-hearted, generous, doing good, you know, a lot of things there. Just good-hearted, kind-hearted, generous, doing that which belongs to it. And it's a mutual thing, and from the husband to the wife to the husband, between husband and wife, that which is due. Okay, so as far as for the outline to follow here, when referring to the wives, I guess it's probably was easier to preach to the husbands because I really do appreciate what we have. I want you ladies, you sisters, to know how much we appreciate how you fill your place. We know you're not perfect and so forth. Whereas it seems us men, we probably need to be talked to more, I expect. We're often we have rough edges and, we're just more crude and we have rough edges. We're not as refined and we're not as sensitive and we don't pick up things as quick as we ought to at times. You know, the list could go on and on and on. And so it's a little bit probably like someone told me some years ago, there was a man and his wife, they were having problems. They were having their issues and the point of separation. So I met him one day and he told me this. He said, well, he said, it's kind of like this. You know, he said, I have a lot of needs and a lot of faults. But he said, my wife's got a few of her own, too. But so, you know, it's probably the heavier load in this side of the house. But I expect that, expect you ladies, you sisters, are not totally exempt either. And you're made of the same kind of you're flesh and blood just like we are. So, what I say is I want to stay with the Word of God. I want to stay with Scripture. I mean, that's the only safe course, is stay with the Word of God. Then when people don't like it or when they're offended or when they, when you feel like you're hit too hard, well, I mean, this is what the Word of God says. And as an outline, I'd like to begin first and just, again, remind us, consider the principle that's given as far as sister's place and the wife in the home. Now, the Bible is very clear about the, as we refer to it, the subordinate role. And it mentions it a number of times, the principle is set forth, the subordinate role of the wife to her husband. Now, and I hope we as men, as husbands, we can be generous enough that we can talk about these things, we can preach about these things, we're not upset, we don't find it repulsive at all. So, as we look at the book of Genesis, have the account of Genesis there, but specifically there, we're again looking at what God said to Eve there in Genesis, Genesis 3, verse 16. Unto the woman, it says, he, God, said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. You shall be subject. The other word we use, be subject or submissive to your husband. And he shall rule over thee. I think the word rule, of course, we're not going to spend a lot of time trying to pick words apart. But I believe that we understand when it says the word rule, he's not referring to some king or some monarch or some dictator, but someone that's to lead out. The husband, he is to lead out and is to give direction. And, of course, as we look at where it's taken from there in Genesis 3, it's consequences for the garden transgression. Now, and then just looking at a few other scriptures, we have this scripture there in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24. 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The principle of submission is something that, husband, wife, boys and girls, it is something that is imperative that we learn and we understand what that is. We know what it feels like. And then as we go through life and we find ourselves in various places, in circumstances that call for submission and subjection, if we don't know what that is, we have problems. We simply have problems. And especially as I think of, you know, we're thinking again of the ladies and the wife's side. Remember so well, some years ago, there was this aged grandmother that in a very plain setting. And I don't know what the issue was anymore. But she somewhat exploded to her family. She said, "That's all I've been told all my life. Just submit, submit, submit." And one of her children was simply humble enough to tell her, "Mom, that's the problem. You've never really learned to submit. You understand? If we go through a lifetime and we chafe and we think, well, that's all, you know, life, about all we get, the church asks us to submit or this or that, or whether it's our husband or wife or whatever, it's probably, if we struggle, it's probably, quite likely because that's our problem. We've never really learned to submit." So there's tremendous virtue and there's tremendous advantage there if we learn at an early age. We learn the principle of submission. And then especially as it's spelled out in the home. You see, when this is at work, it beautifies and it brings such a beautiful setting to the home. It's just, and it's rare. You know, the world and society is they're looking for things like that. I remember another incident a number of years ago when a young man, and again, this was in a conservative setting, but he was in a very dysfunctional home where the wife and the husband left a lot to be desired, and he began to date a young girl. And they'd said later that actually the home was so different and the relationship between husband and wife and their wife, she filled her place was so different from his dysfunctional home that he actually, for quite some time, dated his girl just simply so he could be exposed to that home because he appreciated so much what he saw in that home that he actually dated his girl almost as much for what was in that home. Now, that's a testimony, I think. That's really a testimony. And, you know, would to God that that's what our homes and as individual, whether you're a wife or a husband, looks like, that your life, it's attractive when people see you. They want to see what this looks like and someone following God's order. So, now it mentions here, did I read this? It says here, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Well, you see, I've heard that so many, many, many times, you know. Well, I hope it's something that still doesn't get old to you. And that's, you feel like, well, that's all my life so has been. It's been submitting. Well, if it is, whether it's me or whether it's you, we probably need someone to be humble enough to tell us that's our problem. We don't really understand. We don't know what submission is. Real, godly submitting one to another. And in this particular case, we're referring to the wife, to the husband in the marriage covenant. Well, it goes on and says here, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Now, do you notice how that, the order that gives there? It says there, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Yeah, so it's the order that God has spelled out for us here. You know, and it's very beautiful and it works. And it brings peace and it brings rest. And when we just simply follow that, when God is the rule of our life, His word is the rule of our life, and we follow that. Well, as I look at these verses here, and as I thought about these verses in relation to the wife to the husband, where it says the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and he's the Savior of the body. We say that Christ is the head of the church. Well, you think a little bit about and the Savior of the body. We think of that order. The church is subject, is to be subject to Christ. And, you know, if the church is Shade Mountain, if we wouldn't be subject to Christ, it's just simply not going to work. We all know that. It's not even worth the discussion. We wouldn't even discuss it. We're going to be subject to Christ and His Word, or are we not? Well, of course we are. That's what the Bible spells out to. Look, it's just as important when we speak about the order that the Scripture spells out for the wife or the husband, but in this case this morning for the wife, to be subject, to submit, and to fill the place according to what the Word of God requires. Again, you know, it wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work if the church wouldn't be subject to Christ. If that's what would we be meeting for? We'd just be an organization. Christ is the head. And it says here that even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body, the husband is the head of the wife. And I suppose it's okay when wives struggle with that a little bit sometimes. I guess it is. I mean, we struggle about a lot of things. I struggle about things that maybe is required, or I realize that need to be brought in order. But there's a difference between that and rebelling and carrying that with you through your lifetime. So when you find this a struggle, just look at the Word of God and just look at the blessings and look at what all the Word has to offer you when we follow the order that God has. Doesn't work. Certainly would not work. We realize that if the church would say, well, Christ is not going to be our head. Doesn't work any better when a wife says, well, her husband's not going to be her head. But really, the tragedy is that there's probably most, I expect I could say there's probably most of marriages today. I'm talking about if you took marriages in general, that this would be foreign to the wife. And we certainly don't want it to be foreign here in the church at Shade Mountain. And when we preach messages, it's not so many times that, you know, we wait until we have an issue, we have a problem, so we have the wives are not being subject to their husbands, or like accounts in Esther's time or something like that. You don't wait until that time. We look at the Word of God and the messages as the Word is preached are, we should look at it as preventative. Where the Word of God is preached to keep our minds sharpened, and so we are fully aware, we understand what God's order is and what we're called, how we're to live as Christians. And so we could say specifically this morning, if you struggle with this message, it's just simply what the Bible speaks out, how a wife should live as a Christian. It's how you should live as a Christian. And that's what we're interested in. We want to live and walk as the Bible teaches us to. Now, you know, there's a number of scriptures here that say the same thing. I mean, here we're in Ephesians when it speaks about that wives submitting, and we turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, says the same thing. I think it does say there, as it is fit in the Lord. And I believe that's important. We realize that as well. And then in 1 Timothy 2, we have the scripture again where it refers to a woman and not usurping authority over a man. Paul says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. And then we have a scripture in Titus as well. It speaks about the wives being subject, or what the order is for the wives. This is Paul writing to Titus. In verse 4 of Titus 2, it says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The point I wanted here was where it says obedient or subject or submissive to their husbands. I believe it's the same thing that it's saying. It says that the word of God be not blasphemed. When those things are out of order, small wonder that it doesn't work, because the word of God is being blasphemed. It's not in the God's order when those things are not in order the way they need to be, the way that the Bible calls us to. And then there's a scripture there. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3. He says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, referring to the husbands, if any of the husbands, or if you have a husband that's not a Christian, or if his life is out of order, it says here that they may also be won by the conversation of the wives. As a wife, as she demonstrates the way that a Christian wife should live, and she has an unbelieving husband. This has happened a number of times that, you know, with time that wives have won their husbands simply because of their chaste and their godly lives. And their husbands trusted them. And there's accounts written of how this happened, of incidents that happened that won other people's lives to the gospel, other men, because of a faithful wife. One is where there was this group of men that, I'm not sure were they in a bar or what they were doing, but the account goes and the story goes that they were hungry. Well, it was late at evening, so where are they going to get something to eat? Well, the one man said, come on home, my wife will cook us a meal. Well, the others didn't believe it. It was late. You know, his wife, I think, would have been in bed. And he said, no, come on home. Well, the reason was his wife was a Christian, and she was concerned about her husband, so she got up and cooked a meal for these ungodly men. That's just one story, but as I have the account, if I have the account right, it really spoke to these ungodly men. I'm not sure if some of them didn't come to the Lord through that. That is what Peter's referring to. I say that's what he's referring to. That would be an example. But you can be an example. You can, you know, any of us. It goes for all of us. We're an example by our godly lives. And it speaks to people and it wins people. But especially this morning as we're thinking of wives being in subjection, you want to win your husband. You want to gain his admiration, his respect, and his love, even in a more deeper way. Walk as a godly woman. Walk as someone that walks according to truth and according to what the Bible speaks up and speaks about as far as what the wife's role is. And what we're talking about this morning, you know, it's the God-ordained order. For men and women and boys and girls, that's what the Word of God is. But as we think of the wife this morning and what her place is and how the Bible spells out and calls her how to live and be in subjection to her husband, it is God's ordained order for marriage. And as we're referring to the wives this morning, it's the order for marriage. And I mentioned earlier that probably many, many struggle with this and don't take this in consideration, even especially when considering the marriage covenant. I think in one of the messages I spoke about the Woman's Lib movement. I'm not going to touch on that this morning, but, you know, those things, it's just been, that's what we're referring to. They, for years, women have, in society, have considered it a bondage, a type of bondage, something that, you know, they considered almost like a trap. They're in a trap when they get married, you know. Now they have to listen to their husbands. And there's certainly been a push trying to get that changed and get out from under that. And it's sad. It's in many cases, it's far, far out of order. But simply, obedience is essential to a life of obedience to the Word of God is essential if we want a life of peace and rest and joy, where we can, you know, feel at peace and we know we're ready to go when the Lord calls us to go. So, and this is certainly no exception as we think of God's order for a wife, for the wives, and how to live and relate to their husbands. Obedience to that is essential for the blessing of God on your life. You get outside of that order, no wonder if the blessing of God can't rest on your life. And it goes for any of us when we're outside of the Word of God and not obedient to the Word. Obedience to the Word is essential if we want a life of peace and rest and joy and that which accompanies the Christian life. And I would say this way to boys and girls and anyone here that, you know, if you're not married, please don't enter into the covenant of marriage. And that goes for boys and girls. Don't enter into the covenant of marriage if you have reservations on the God-given order. You see, some men, and we spoke on that, some men don't want to fill their place either. They don't want to lead out, and so they're quite okay when the woman gets out of her place and makes a living or whatever, does a lot of the things that pertain to man. Now, I said don't enter the covenant of marriage. You don't want to do that, but the better one is, you know, repent and accept the order that God has for it. Don't just say, well, I won't get married because, yeah, I know that's God's order, and I don't want that on my life. I don't want my life to be tied down to that. That's not you. You can choose to do that. But I don't think that's really the idea of submission to the Word of God. Now, we read there in Ephesians 5, verse 25, I don't think I read the verse there where it says that husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. The reason I bring that in, you know, when we love our wives, husbands, when we love our wives as Christ loved the church, then it's not hard for our wives. We make it easier for our wives to submit. I think you wives would verify that. If a husband is godly and he has his life in order and he lives according to the Word of God, and he loves you as Christ loved the church, it's probably not that hard to be in submission to him. I don't think so. It's not that hard, not that difficult to be in submission to that kind of love, is it? I would like to think a little bit more about just the practical side of it to help us. And, you know, we read the scripture there in 1 Timothy 2 where Paul said, suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. I'd like to think about that a little bit more in a practical way. What does that look like, or how could that be overstepped? And I'm sure there's areas like this that, you know, we can easier overstep some of the areas and then wonder why, you know, we have the difficulties the way we do. Without realizing it. But what does it look like when a woman steps out of her place? Well, I'm not here to tell you how it all looks like. But I know, you know, I've seen a few things, and I think we probably can think of a few things at least that is overstepping the role of a woman that is seeking to fill her place in subjection to her husband. So what does it look like? Well, I mean, some of the things would simply be like when the wife makes demands or when she uses force and insistent upon having her own way, over-demanding, wants to make, you know, the final decisions that belong to her husband. assuming things in a high-handed manner without her husband's consent. You know, some wives superseding their husbands. There are. I don't dispute that. I don't. You know, there's some very intelligent women out there. Doesn't sound right. Sounds like some are not, does it? They're all. But what I'm saying is, there are some ladies that have some very high IQs, and I've met a few of them. One man that we've worked with a lot over the years, he's told me his wife has a much higher IQ than she does, than he does, and she does. She's a very intelligent woman. The reason I bring that in, what the point I'm trying to make is, you know, even when a wife, when she supersedes her husband, she can do things better than her husband and so forth, that still does not give her a license, the use of authority, or step out of her place. It just doesn't. It's still, the scripture still says what it does, and that the wife is to be in subjection to her husband. A wife stepping out of her place, she can be domineering, she can even bully her husband. That sounds pretty bad, but or intimidate, a husband that's controlled by his wife, criticized. Those are just some things that, you know, would come under that category of a woman usurping authority. When she makes decisions on what to do, when she becomes the decision maker. Now, you know, there's a lot can be said about working together as a husband and wife, and that is definitely necessary. But the point still is that the husband, it is the husband's responsibility to lead out and to make propositions and to share together with his wife. You know, maybe she has better ideas than he does. And I believe a godly husband will consider that. He will think about that. But she still needs to be willing to leave the final decision working together with her husband. She's out of order when she does otherwise. So I think of a husband and wife and the wife getting out of her order and doing some of the things that I mentioned as far as intimidating, overruling, superseding her husband and so forth, and wanting to be the decision maker. What happens? What happens when a wife gets out of order, when she does that too much? When we have another term that we use, refer to sometimes, and sounds kind of crude, but we talk about henpecked husbands. The problem is when a wife gets out of order, when she gets out of her order and she usurps authority over the man tends to get what I call hennish ways. Now, that doesn't sound very respectful maybe to use that term. Let me just say it this way. We men love hennish ways, but we like it when our wives have them. We don't care. It becomes repulsive when men get hennish ways, I guess. When a man becomes henpecked, he tends to get hennish ways. And I don't mean that word disrespectful, because, again, I repeat, I believe we as husbands, we like hennish ways when it's our wife, but we don't like it when men pick up some of them traits and characters. They don't belong to men. Now, I think of fussing versus criticizing and scolding. I think probably most of us men, we don't mind when our wives fuss a little bit. I don't think we do, as long as it doesn't get way out of order. In fact, we maybe kind of enjoy it sometimes a little bit. I don't know. Someone said once that when wives fuss over their husbands, and especially when they're, you know, concerned about this or that, why a husband often, he just kind of settles down and actually begins to purr like a cat. That's different from when you have your wife, when she's criticizing and she's scolding and, you know, gets into those kind of things. That's the other side of that. I think most men don't mind a little bit of fussing as long as it's kept within proper bounds. Now, we mentioned the scripture there in 1 Peter about the husband can be won by the chaste conversation of the wives. A godly wife can win her husband many times. Now, what do you do? What do you do when a husband is out of order? You know, husbands do get out of order. What do you do? What is a godly woman supposed to do? Well, the one scripture, I think it's in Colossians 3 that we read, it said, you know, submitting to your husbands in everything. No, not, I don't think it's there where it says everything, but it says this way. It says that as it is fit in the Lord. Now, I believe that's a clause there that, you know, a husband that gets his life gets way out of order, an unfaithful husband, those kind of things. That's a different story. But it's still probably the greatest thing and the most powerful thing that any wife can do is be a godly wife in the midst of that. Because it really does. But when the husband is out of order, yeah, that certainly does try a godly woman out. But don't allow your faith to be hinged on how faithful your husband is or if he's the man he ought to be. In fact, you know, as I referred to that scripture, Peter tells us what to do. What do you do? What do you do when the husband is out of order? If you look at that scripture, I think Peter tells us what to do, doesn't he? Yeah. He says, likewise, just reading that scripture again in 1 Peter 3, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also may be won without the word be won by the conversation or by the life walk of the wife. That's what he's saying. So what do you do? Well, first of all, you don't sacrifice any godly principles. You uphold the word of God and you stand in the word of God and you be faithful. And that will speak. And I'm sure it works on the other. It works for both sides. However, you know, the sad part of it is it's seeming, again, the husbands are the ones that more often seem to get out of order, almost seems like they do, than the wives. Okay, going back to Genesis chapter 2 in verse 18, there where God said when he created the wives, he said, you know, he saw there was no help there for Adam. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Well, that word meet simply means suitable, proper, or compatible. The word is as we would use it. God saw that man needed help. And so I'm saying to you, ladies and wives, that I don't think you realize what a help and what a tremendous asset you are to your husband. I would like to encourage you in that. Now, Nathan read the Proverbs 31 scripture there. Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we could have just closed the service and said, all right, there it is, ladies. You live that, you uphold that, and we could just close the service with that scripture. And it mentions a lot of things. I'm not going to expound on that. I know it mentions about she considers the field and buyeth it. I don't think it means that your wives go out and buy farms and things up for you. But that word field, it just means she considers those things and she's there. She helps her husband and she in those kind of decisions and so forth. He will counsel with her and he needs her help in that. The wife can be a great help. It's been said that the wife is to the husband what the neck is to the head. You know, we say the husband's the head of the home. Well, the wife is certainly the heart of it too. But it's been said that she is like she is to the husband as the head. She is like the neck to the head. She holds him up. She is like that. So I'd like to say just a little bit more about what a great help that a wife is, both by way of encouraging you wives in this side and those who are considering to be wives, what a tremendous potential and what a tremendous avenue of help this can be for the kingdom of God. And as Proverbs 31 says, she helps her husband. She is there for him. I like to think of it especially more in areas of negligence. As I mentioned that, you know, I think we men have our share of needs. How much our wives can help us in those, it's just, I think we tend to overlook that and what they can do and what they can contribute to that. For a husband, for example, as a wife to your husband, you know, in areas of negligence, as a spiritual leader, if you feel like he's not, you know, maybe being the spiritual leader that you would like him to, you can be a tremendous help in that. You can be there for him. Again, you can be there with suggestions and not in a demanding way. But the wife can be a great help, making sure there's time for devotions, like family devotions, making sure the household schedule does not interfere with that. It's up to the wife a lot. She can see that the household schedule is designed to make room for time for devotions and spiritual activities and so forth. And as we think of material things, you know, the wife has her place too, and in encouraging her husband, being there for him, helping him where she can. Now, work habits in homes, they vary. You know, homes vary from home to home. They probably vary from home to home. And so for the wife, and this needs to be said to the husband too, don't compare your home with what you're trying to have with you and your wife. It often doesn't work. Don't compare that. I know of one home where the father-in-law was a very gifted man and had everything like we'd all like to have, but it caused a lot of a struggle in his daughter's marriage. And her husband came to the place where he just kind of gave up because, you know, he could never match up to what his wife's father was anyway. So, and you know, those are areas there when you're not leaving. You're supposed to leave your father and mother. You have your home. Don't compare on either side of the home. Don't compare your husband with your father. And husband, don't compare your wife with your mother. A lot of times in homes, you know, we have to, when we leave our parental homes, a lot of times it means that we have to accept a different financial level than maybe what we were used to. Finances can be, they can be a real test for a marriage. And I think the wife can be a tremendous help in that. But be careful not to compare. In 2 Kings 4, we have the story there of the Shunammite woman. I'm just going to draw our minds to that a little bit. I like that story there, that account of the Shunammite woman. You know, Elisha was traveling through there, and she suggested to her husband, she said, you know what? We ought to build a little room here and a place for this man of God to stay when he passes through here. Well, obviously her husband thought, well, yeah, that's okay. But I think we, as you read that account, I look at it, she just made a, you know, she made a nice suggestion there to her husband. I don't think she was demanding. And her husband, obviously, he hadn't picked it up. He, you know, so there you go again. the wife picked that up and said, well, you know, we really ought to make accommodations for this man of God. And in talking with her husband, he apparently thought it was a good idea. And we have that recorded in the scripture. There's one example of what a wife can do. Just be there and, you know, she'd have probably been okay if, I expect the Shunammite would have been okay if her husband had said, it's just not going to work for us to do that. I don't know. But there's one example. And so the Shunammite there, I believe she was, she's a good example in a number of things. Well, then, lastly, I'd just like to talk a little bit about relating to and loving the inconsiderate husband. Well, I'm not a wife, so I don't know that I have a lot of, you know, the answers for that, too. But again, I believe it goes back to what Peter says there and how a Christian wife should conduct herself. And it may take some time, but I believe those things can, there are things that a godly wife can do that can change. And many homes have been changed by someone just simply being willing to stand up for it. In fact, I don't know if I may have not finished the rest of the story when I mentioned about that aged grandmother who struggled with and made the remark that that's all her life has been, has just been submission. And one of her sons was humble enough to tell her, just simply tell her, Mom, that's your problem. You've never really learned to submit. Well, the last couple years that she lived, she's no longer living. She's just a different person. She was. She's just sweet to be around and just a different person. And I think it's never too late. We can always check our lives and say, well, you know what? Maybe there's some truth in that. Maybe I needed that. I believe that we, you know, most times when we're admonished or exhorted, we probably need it. Now, just going to draw our attention to Abigail. Now, you know the story, I trust, of Abigail out in the wilderness. It was when David and his men, when they were fleeing from Saul, and Nabal was a man that had a herd out there in the wilderness, and David's men had been good to him and so forth. Well, but Nabal was not willing to return the favor, and he talked roughly to David, so David, of course, was going to have his revenge. Well, Abigail finds this out, and she covered her husband's back, so to speak. She went and she ministered to David and his men. My point here is being that, you know, a godly wife can do many things for a husband that's maybe not always so considerate and maybe needs his back covered sometimes. I like that account there with what Abigail won. We know how the account ended up and so forth. But the point still is in what Abigail was willing to do for her evil and inconsiderate husband. She covered her husband's blind, inconsiderate area. And she saved his, you know, she saved his back for that. Well, in closing, I'm just going to make a couple remarks here. I don't know what you wives would say if I would ask you, and I'm not going to ask you for response here. What do you think your husband desires most of all from you? What do you think, what does he desire most of all? You know, you say a lot of things you could say about, you know, he wants a good housekeeper, he wants meals cooked, he wants his clothes washed and all that. Really? Well, yeah, those are all side benefits. Well, I'm just going to give you what I think. I think number one, of course, what a husband wants, he wants his wife's love. But closely related, maybe just as close related to that, he wants her respect. Now, is it possible to have one and not the other? Not very likely. I think one begets the other. If if you have your wife's respect the way you should have, you probably have her love too. And vice versa, if you have her love, you probably have her respect too. Now, I realize it'd be possible to love someone and not maybe really respect them because of how they are and so forth. But I think, generally speaking, I think that the two things, and there's a number of husbands there, maybe there's other things they refer to that, beyond that, but two things that I think of as a husband, what I desire of my wife. Certainly, most of all, I desire her love and I desire her respect. And I believe it's up to me to earn that, as it was when we initially got to know each other, to earn that and to keep that. Now, I'd just like to, again, another statement I'd like to say is, for us to think about is what the love of a good woman can do to a man. I don't think you wives and ladies have any idea what that can do. Now, when I was a young unconverted man, there was a song that used to sing. I'm not going to go to the lyrics, but it just the title of it was "How the Love of a Good Woman Saved Such and Such from the Gutter," and I've often thought about that in my own experience. I can't tell you how the love of my wife saved me from some things. And it's not necessary to go there. But just giving you that to think about it, girls and wives, and what the love of a good woman can do. I think that a wife, in most cases, they have the potential to either make or break their husband. I have said a few times over the years, if my wife stands by me and she by her side, I feel like I can face anything, almost. And I hope that we've stirred your minds at least a little bit, wives and would-be wives, however you want to be addressed, the potential you have and what you have and the contribution you make to your husband. There is there's an old proverb that says something like this. It says, "Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough." So let's pray.